Now that I'm 50 and a grandma, I was going to say, I guess I qualify as an older woman. So I'm going to share some of the things that the Lord's been teaching me and how they apply to motherhood. We've reached a point in our life where the youngest of our five kids is about to graduate. Graduate high school, and Faith is going to be heading to college in the fall. And the kids are all leaving home, but their stuff isn't. So I've been going through closets and cabinets and drawers and under beds and everything. I'm trying to sort things out in the house. And in the process, I've come across things. And there's an abundance of a few things that have brought so much joy to me. And I wanted to share those things with you. Because it's the Lord just showed me how they just fit together with a mother's heart and how that fits together with the Lord's heart. The first thing that I have found so many of in our house is journals. There's prayer journals, there's my prayer journals, there's the kids' prayer journals, there's letters that they've written to each other or to us, there's cards, hilarious cards that we've made for each other, poems, songs we've written for each other, things we've written to the Lord, and it just brings me so much joy when I come across something like that, because I'll think, I didn't remember that, or I never knew they prayed this or that, and so it's just been records of our lives together, and so I wanted to share a few of those funny things with you. One thing I saw I found a journal somewhere from when we lived in the Philippines, and one of the kids was sitting on the toilet and said, "Mommy, when Jesus is fighting my enemies for me, I put my hands over my eyes so the light won't be so bright. So the brightness won't hurt my eyes." And I was like, okay. Another one said, it came in and just said, "Mom, I have a new song." It goes like this: a band of angels come into the town to tell the whole city that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Yes. One of the kids, when they were real little, came up to me and said, "Mommy, there's a terrible battle going on, and sometimes it looks like we lose, but we win, Mommy. Our side wins because of Jesus." Now, a little kid doesn't get that because of anything but revelation from the Lord, right? You know, they don't know that stuff. I found one of the girls' journal, and she was going through a time where she wrote in her journal to the Lord, everything was a Dear Daddy, and it said, "Dear Daddy, I feel so sorry for King David. His own son turned against him." Another time it said, "Dear Daddy, I was reading in Acts, and I think it's cool that even though the apostles were flogged, they went away rejoicing." Isn't that cool? I saw one prayer entry, and you will guess who this is. "Please, please, please send more babies to this church." And then one of the kids said, I had the grumpies, so I asked Jesus, and he sent an angel, and the angel held a sword over my head, and the grumpies went away. So I remember saying, "Hey, can you pray about my grumpies?" And they did. There's just some beautiful, beautiful moments of family life together. And the second thing I found a great abundance of in our house, tucked here and there and everywhere, are vases. And they're different shapes and sizes, and they come from different eras because vases look different in different seasons. And each one represents a memorable event in our lives, and we have them commemorating births, anniversaries, weddings, appendectomy, tonsillectomy, congratulating for plays well done, awards received, making the cheer squad for prom, just because, you know. And of course, I had a new vase recently that had a balloon on it that was announcing, "It's a girl, we're having a girl." Did you already put the picture up? Yes, that's our Noah. So, she's beautiful. Anyway, so many memories are represented through all these glass bottles. And one of my all-time favorites I had to bring up here. It's this big. And so all you moms out there, you know about these. These little bitty, I was so happy to find this when my kids were little toddlers and little kids, because the little kids bring in those little weed bouquets. You know, the flowers that are on weeds that are too little that you can't put in anything else. And so I just love this vase. I still love it because I could put those little weed bouquets, because that was the offering they had, and it meant so much, you know, and it still does. It's still one of my favorites. Anyway, all these things, the vases, the journals, the Lord showed me represent our lives as mothers and women, and I mean that, not just mothers. There's women out there, and you've mothered so many people. Some of you, Alicia, have mothered my kids too, and just been so good in there. We're all in there together, and so I'm talking to all of us women and men too, actually. But he showed me something even more profound that I'd like to share with you, because our lives in the mother's heart also represent what's going on in heaven. God's heart toward us as his children. The vases are symbolic of the bottles of tears that the Lord collects. He collects all of our tears. The journals, the songs, the poems, the letters, they're symbolic of our lives that he records. And he records our lives because he loves us. He records the good and the bad. He doesn't record the bad because he's like, hey, look what you did. He records it all, just like we do as moms, because we love each other, because we love our kids and we care. He cares about every little detail of our lives, just like we are as a mom. I have everything. I have every award. I've got, there's so much stuff in there, you know. They say, you know, a mother never forgets, or an elephant never forgets. How do they go together? I don't know. you know, we can find everything, a mother. We put something away and you send the kids in there. Mom, I can't find this. And you say, no, it's in there. I put it there. I remember putting it there. No, I can't find it. No, it's in there. I put it there. I promise it's in there. No, it's not in there. And you go in there and say, see, I told you. I remembered. I put it there. I remembered. So we have that joke that like a mother's uterus is a tracking device, right? Don't you think that? Exactly. Anyway, every little thing we remember. But there are some things that I think, oh, I wish I'd remembered to write that down so I could remember it exactly like it happened. But the Lord never has to have that regret, because he's writing everything down. Everything's recorded. And I just, he's been putting it on my heart so much lately that his word is literal. His love for us is literal. He keeps telling me the Bible's so literal. It's not just poetic. It's not just figurative. There really is a mansion for us in heaven, and he's making each of our mansions to suit our tastes, our very tastes. He really knows how many hairs I have on my head. He really knows the words that are on my tongue before I speak them. He knows it completely, just like the Psalms say. And he values every one of our words. He values our thoughts. He values us that much. Recently, there's more and more books of people's accounts of being taken to heaven, or some of them to hell, and then back to tell about it. And the heaven books, they intrigue me so much, because in them I see common threads of things the Lord's shown me, or he's revealed to my kids through either angelic visitations or dreams or visions or just prophetic words. And they also show the meaning of things in Scripture that we don't fully understand. So people get taken up into heaven and the revelation is just a little bit more real. And so in many of these books about heaven, there's volumes and volumes and volumes. It's like there's libraries and halls full of books, beautiful books, because God's keeping his own journals of our lives here on earth. Everything, the good, the bad, everything. Ever since I was filled with the Spirit years ago, I've had this thought when I read the Word of God that these are people's stories. They're people just like me and you, and they're stories of how they responded to God and responded to other people in their lives. Whether they acted out of love or faith or fear or courage, God is writing their, God's writing all of our stories. He's writing my story right now, and he's writing all of y'all's too. The Bible is the Word of God. I know it. It's powerful for our good, and it's powerful for tearing down strongholds and imaginations. But the people in it, the people in the Bible, are just men and women like us. And as the Lord's releasing wisdom and revelation in these days, the Scriptures are being opened up and the full revelation is coming. The angels are in heaven recording our stories, and it's phenomenal. He doesn't miss a thing. He sees everything. And that's good news. That's good news that he doesn't miss a thing that's going on in our lives. He even knows what we give. He knows our attitudes when we give it. He's just so good about all that. And when I think about that, that he's recording everything about my life, then I also think, okay, Lord, your word says that if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive my sin and purify me from all unrighteousness. Or he separated my sin as far as the east is from the west. And I've seen that. He's given me a revelation of how he does. Our sin, each sin is actually uglier than we can ever imagine because it separates us. But every, when he forgives us, it's so much more beautiful because it, his purity comes over us and it's so much more beautiful than we can imagine. So we're separated from our sin. But I've always wondered how that goes together with he's keeping a record up there. You know, I'm like, what's it going to look like when we're faced with that? And so I wanted to read this account of this man who was taken up to heaven. He was in an accident in San Antonio in the 60s. And he was taken up to heaven, but it wasn't his time, so he was sent back to earth. But he was taken, it says, I was taken into a very large building that looked like a library. The walls were solid gold and sparkled with a dazzling display of light that loomed up high to a crystal-domed ceiling. I saw hundreds and hundreds of volumes of books. Each book had a cover of beautifully carved gold with a single letter of the alphabet engraved on the outside. Many angels were there reading the contents of the books. John, his friend that had died before him, explained to me that these books contain a record of every person's life that's ever been born throughout all history. Everything we do is here on earth is recorded in these books, good or bad, everything. I watched as an angel opened one of the books and with the cloth wiped the pages. And as he did this, the page turned red and the writing vanished from the pages, leaving only the name. I asked what that meant and was told the red represents the cleansing from the blood of Jesus, your Savior. Names were transferred from these books to the Lamb's Book of Life, and sins were erased and remembered against you no more. The Lamb's Book of Life is for those who've received everlasting life by asking Jesus to save them. Have you? Other books were shown to me that contained prayer requests, other books of spiritual growth, our spiritual growth in the Lord, and a record of the number of souls that we've brought to the Lord. And the books were all very detailed, as everything we do is known to God. John pulled a book from one of the shelves with my initials on the outside. It was the Lamb's Book of Life. He laid it open on a table and found my name recorded in the book. And next to my name were the words, "Paid in full by the precious red blood of Jesus." Isn't that beautiful? So we can imagine that moment. Imagine that moment when you're taken up to heaven and you're seeing all that stuff. I was just thinking, what a glorious moment when you see it just wiped away because it's paid in full by the precious blood of Jesus. So I just am so grateful for that. And we're all going to have face to face with eternity. And it's either going to be eternal life or it's going to be eternal punishment. There's those two choices. And so think of that glorious moment when you see all of your stuff in your journal just erased by the precious red blood of Jesus. And just glory in that moment because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's just a beautiful thing. And so I just want to say, if you don't know the Lord, if you haven't accepted Jesus, please do that now. Make sure you've trusted Jesus and live in obedience in faith with him and just faith in his goodness. And back to the mothers and the vases or the bottles. The vases represent to me our tears stored in bottles. And so I'm going to call this part the message in the bottle. Our lives as moms are bathed in tears. In that moment, even at birth, you know, I call it the laugh cry thing you do when your baby's born. It's because there's so much joy that bubbles up and you just can't help but laugh or cry. And it both comes out at the same moment because it's so beautiful. You're so astonished at that moment with the precious gift of another person. My births, my sisters, my friends, women I've discipled and prayed with. And I've been at so many births, and every single time that moment that baby's born, there's just that tears that come forth in that moment, and they're collected and they're gathered and they're saved. I remember when we lived in the Philippines, our second child was born when we lived in the Philippines. My mom came to visit, of course, because she was going to help me with the new baby, and she had to leave. Ariel was born late, so mom was leaving just a day or two after. And I started to cry, and she said, "Don't cry, just be thankful. Be thankful I got to come." My mom and I are extremely close, and I was thankful, but I also needed to cry. And so I was just like, "Lord, is it okay? Because I'm really thankful. I want you to know I'm so thankful, but I just feel like crying." And he said, "You know, I knew that I was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, but I stood there and cried with my friends. I shared that moment with my friends. I shared their grief, and I felt compassion." Because compassion means with passion. And Jesus has passion on us in our moments of grief. His passion is toward us. And so he said, "Go ahead and cry, and I'm going to keep depression away." Because I could see this cloud in my room. I was in the rocking chair with a new baby, and I felt like depression wanted to settle on me. And the Lord said, "You cry because you're going to miss your mom, and I'm going to keep it away." And I don't know if it was the Lord himself or if it was angels, but he kept depression away, and I cried, and my tears flowed in gratefulness and everything, and he kept the unnecessary grief away, and he collected my tears in that moment. I know he collected my tears. The word says in Psalm 56, verse 8, "You have taken account of my turnings." Sometimes it's translated my lament, my wanderings, my misery, my troubles. So I put it in parentheses, and it's like he's taken account of the hard stuff. He's taken account of our hard stuff, the hard stuff we've been through. "Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not collected in your book?" So I'm like a literal person. So, okay, Lord, in Revelation it talks about the golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So I'm like, Lord, is it books or bowls or bottles? I don't, you know, what are you collecting our tears in? I don't get it. And so the Lord, and he's so sweet, he gives revelation. Because as moms and women who love very, very deeply, we know there's a lot of tears. When your baby won't sleep and you're exhausted and confused, sometimes all you can do is cry. When you have a little one that's sick and there's nothing you can do about it and you can't figure out what's wrong, you literally hurt for them and you cry. And the tears flow when you have an adolescent that feels rejected by their peers. And I always give myself a month or so around the time one of my kids leaves for college because I just need to cry. It's not a bad thing. I'm going to miss them. I love them so much. I give myself time. And I know I'm going to cry a lot during those times. We've all experienced trauma and tragedy and horrible medical diagnosis and separation, betrayal, miscarriages, divorce, depression, confusion. And I hear a lot of people in the last few years saying, and I felt it too, I'm going through something I never expected to experience. I'm going through something I never expected to go through. And the good news is right now that God cares. He wants everybody in this room to know he sees and he's intricately involved in what's going on. So his word to all of us is stay connected to his goodness. He's saying to you, stay connected to my goodness during the times when it doesn't feel good. And let the tears flow, because listen to this from another account of someone who was taken up to heaven. She was taken into a room, and it was titled "The Room of Tears." Looking inside, I could see the room itself wasn't very large, but the holiness and power radiating from it amazed me. Lined with crystal shelves, the inside walls glowed with light. On the shelves were many bottles, some of which were in clusters of three and looked like clear glass. Under each sparkling cluster of glass-like bottles was a plaque with a name on it. There were many of these bottles in the room. An elegant table, which was made of rich-looking material and glowed with majestic splendor, was just inside the door. The lavish display astonished me. Books were lying on the table, and they looked as if they were sewn in the most beautiful silk-like material. Some had diamonds, some had pearls or lace on them. Others had green or purple stones on them, and all were intricately made. At this point, the keeper of the room, who was a person who had died and was glorified, and this was their job in heaven, to keep this room, said, "I want to show you something. I want to show you this room, and I want to explain to you about tears. This is only one of many rooms like it, and I'm in charge of this room." And as he talked, a large angel came through the entranceway holding a small bowl in his hands. The golden bowl was filled with liquid, and the man in the room told me it was a bowl of tears. "I want you to see what we do with this." The angel handed him the bowl along with a piece of paper. The note held the name of the person whose tears were in the bowl. You know, it could have been one of ours, I just thought. You know, it could have been one of us. The man read the note and went over to one of the places where the bottles were kept. He read the plaque to match the name on the note. The man picked up the bottle that was nearly full and poured the tears from the golden bowl into the bottle. Then he took the bottle over to the table and picked up one of the books and opened it and said, "Look." The pages were completely blank. The keeper of the room said, "These are the tears from the saints of God. As they cry to God, see what happens." Then the man poured a drop from the bottle, one little teardrop on the first page. As he did, words began to appear immediately. Beautiful words, elegantly handwritten, started appearing on the page. Each time a tear fell on a page, a whole page of writing appeared. He continued doing this page after page, time and again. And as he closed the book and spoke, he seemed to be saying to all humanity, "The most perfect prayers are those that are bathed in tears." The book was then quickly transported by an angel to a huge altar in front of the throne of God. I saw angels bowing before him, and then the hand of God came out of the glory cloud surrounding the throne and opened the book. Amazed, I saw what looked like smoke ascending from the book. Suddenly, the most beautiful perfume I ever smelled filled the whole area where I stood. You know, in the Word, it talks about our prayers being incense, and so that smoke, the prayers became incense, and it was a beautiful aroma. The angel told me the book contains the prayers of the saints, and God was sending his angels to earth to answer the prayers. As they came up as incense, then the books flew out of the pages. The Lord would hand them to different angels and said, "Go answer her prayers. Go answer his prayers." Isn't that awesome? It's awesome. Our tears are interpreted as prayers. And not just that, because that's beautiful enough, but then the answers are sent to us. In heaven, there are storerooms. Even in some rooms, it's like there's specific storerooms for different things, and he is sending our answers to us. And the Psalms say that those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing sheaves with us. And remember that at different, this is a really important thing to remember, that at those times in our life when there's a lot of tears, that's when we feel alone. That's when we feel nobody understands what's going on, or you think people don't understand what's going on in your life. And it's those times where the enemy's trying to make you think God isn't good, or you wouldn't be experiencing something like this, or there's something wrong with you. But the truth is, in that very moment, God is more intricately, I feel like he's so intricately involved, because the angels are ascending and descending with our tears and vials. So the enemy's trying to magnify the fear and make you feel alone or abandoned. And those are the very moments that God is actively pursuing you and collecting your tears and sending the answers. He sees and he moves on your behalf. So I just want to just say a few things. I just think about it like we're bringing God our vases, our little vases of tears with our little weed bouquets in them. And then he turns them into something absolutely beautiful. He turns them into beautiful prayers. And then he sends these awesome answers for us. That's how he does. And I wanted to even share the words of a song, because he does turn our lives into beautiful things. And there's a song, and it says, "All this pain, I wonder if I'll ever find my way. I wonder if my life could really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground at all? You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. All around, hope is springing up from this old ground. Out of chaos, life is being found in you. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us." And it sounds better when they sing it, obviously. Yep. Okay, so some things I just wanted to remind, some important reminders to help us get from sowing in tears to this side over here, which is reaping with joyful shouting. One thing, like I said before, stay connected to the Lord's goodness. And we stay connected to His goodness by being thankful. We always have something to be thankful for. Give thanks to the Lord, for He's good, and His love endures forever. And we stay connected to Him, and we can get from sowing in tears to reaping with joyful shouting through belief and faith. And that's just not believing that He's God. It's believing, because you know the demons believe that He's God. But that's what it says in James. But we believe that He's a good God and that He is a rewarder of us because we diligently seek Him. So we're not just thinking, okay, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. We're saying, I believe God that You are good and You can turn anything in my life for good. And He does. And we will. And when we pray, this is important too, keep praying and asking because He's sending the answers. He's already sent the answer. It's on its way. And so we don't invalidate or cancel our prayers through unbelief. So if you've asked for something in faith and you know the Lord was behind it, then hold on to that until you see it. The angels are on the way with the answers. And there's literally, the Lord knows our hearts and He is sending answers to your prayers. He's sending answers to my prayers. So just keep believing and declare and speak the truth. And when I say speak the truth, I know sometimes for people it has this negative image, like, well, I'll speak the truth. I'll give you a piece of my mind, or I'll tell you what I really think. But when God says speak the truth, His truth is good over situations in our life, over sickness, over our family. His truth is good truth. It's that He loves us, that He's called us according to His purpose. That I just pick up my Bible sometimes and I just start opening it up to Ephesians and say, God, help me to walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling that's on my life. And I just speak that over my whole family. Or I pick up books of blessing and I just say them out loud, because then I can hear it and the Spirit can hear it. The Lord can hear my faith. And we just say the good things that God is speaking over us. He's speaking so many good things over us. He loves us so much. So anyway, I just want to say that. Just declare and speak the truth over your life, over your situation. And the truth is that God is good and He loves you so much. And a lot of times I'll just say, I believe You, God. I'm not being religious. I don't have to make up some kind of something and say it religiously. I just think of something and I say, I believe You, God. I believe You. And He's so faithful. Recently, I even, in the car, David and I were going somewhere. I can't remember where we're going. I wish I could remember, because I want to see this again. And I think, was that real? Or was that the Lord just being creative? But I was praying and thinking, and I had this thought, like, you know what, Lord, I didn't expect that to end that way. Whatever it was. I didn't expect that situation to end that way. And just then I opened my eyes, and there was a billboard. And it said, the story isn't over until God says it's over. So it's like, isn't that cool? Now I wonder when I tell that story, like, was that a real billboard? Or was that God just being creative and He showed that to me? Where were we going? I didn't even remember that. Anyway, our stories are still being written, so cooperate with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same way, the saying goes, a mother's only as happy as her saddest child, which I'm not speaking that over anybody. I just hear that. You hear that saying. But, you know, it is like the Lord, because He's constantly looking around for that one that's lost. And He'll leave the 100 and go find that one that's lost somewhere. So His heart is for that child that doesn't know Him. His heart is for that one that's lost or lonely. And He's ever patient. The Word of God says He's ever patient. He doesn't want any of His children to perish. He wants us all to embrace Jesus, and He wants us all to inherit eternal life. So women, just like it says in Proverbs 31, we can smile at the future because God is for us. Yay. Amen. That's my word for today. I want to say that if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't accepted Him as your Lord, please change that today. There really is a heaven. There's a glorious place waiting for you. So give your heart to the Lord if you don't know Him. If you've wandered or strayed from the Lord or from obeying His word, I just want to call out to you from the depth of my spirit to repent and come back to Him. And repent is a good thing. It just means turn around and come back to the beautiful beautiful, beautiful thing that God has for you. One time one of my kids said, Mom, it was like first year at college or something, I really don't feel very close to the Lord right now. And I remember I was ready to do the 1-2, the oh mom 1-2 punch, like get out your Bible. And I was going to do the whole get up early in the morning. I was going to give the whole mom speech. And the Lord was like, whoop, don't say it. So I was like, and he said, tell her I feel close to her. I don't feel very close to the Lord right now. Well, you know what? He feels close to you. He said he's right there with you. He never left you. And a lot of times, you know, the kids are going through hard things, and he says, tell them to use my name. Use my name. So the name of Jesus is powerful for everything. So don't forget, we're his children. Use the name. Use the name of Jesus. If you have any other prayer needs or anything, please come to the front for prayers. Mother, sometimes our hearts just hurt because we don't have our hurts. We feel the hurt of our kids, right? Every situation, you don't just feel your hurt, you feel your kids' hurt. And sometimes it feels like too much. So if you're having hurt, please come forward and just get some people agree with you and just give it up to the Lord and just let his love wash over you. Thank you.